Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What have I become?
All right, the Tom Brady Marathon has just begun on ESPN, for those of you. But you don't want to miss my next interview coming up in a couple of minutes. It's on the main page of ESPN.com. The story behind the split of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots. And I know Seth Wickersham, who has basically had this connection with Tom Brady going back to Brady's second year. Here when he won, you know, his first Super Bowl in 2001, it's riveting. And I was just going through, I read the whole thing, highlighting one part. And I think you'll find this very interesting. Brady made it clear to big game author Mark Leibovich that he was fed up with Bill Belichick's culture, which is to say that he was fed up with Belichick. After the Patriots lost to the Eagles in Super Bowl 52, Brady was deeply dissatisfied. The offense had put up 613 yards with no punts. When Belichick addressed the team upon its return to Foxborough, Brady mostly stared straight down, barely glancing up at his coach. Brady told people in the building that he wasn't coming back. Needing distance, he detached from the team that spring. He left passive-aggressive comments on social media. He pleaded the fifth. He looked lost at the end of his Facebook docuseries, Tom vs. Time, saying of his passion, "What are we doing this for?" Wow. Oh, I don't blame him for not wanting to come back after that. No, I forgot that they didn't punt in that game. 613 yards, no punts. And Malcolm Butler didn't play. Just unfreaking believable. And then he talks about the end, of course, where it was on Monday night. Brady called Kraft and made his short drive to his house for a conversation about which he had long imagined. Kraft, in a round of phone calls to Patriots beat writers the next day, would say that he assumed Brady was visiting to finalize his next contract. Quote, "I thought he was coming over, as he has for the past 10 years, to quietly get things done," Kraft told NBC Boston, despite reports that he would leave all negotiations to Belichick. But Brady told Kraft that it was over, and the owner would leave little doubt as to why. "Think about loving your wife, and for whatever reason, there's something, her father or mother, that makes life impossible for you, and you have to move on." The end in New England made us remember the beginning. Before anyone debated whether it was Bill or Tom, before there was a legacy to fight over. In November 2001, Brady pulled up to the old Foxborough Stadium. He and I had a meeting. Seth is talking about, and Brady was wearing a gray sweatsuit with a large backpack filled with beer to be delivered to teammates after he had lost a locker room bet on the previous weekend's Michigan State game. So this goes back. Seth Wickersham, I remember Seth did an article on Tom Brady, right? Like when he was making his run to the first Super Bowl I mentioned, as Seth Wickersham joins us right now on the Harbor One hotline, that I had met you the night of the Tuck Rule game, Seth. And you probably don't remember that, which is fine, because I remember you were interviewing Tom Brady. I was right there in the locker room after that game, and you were talking to Tom, and you struck up a connection and relationship sort of with him. You wrote the article a couple years ago. Seth, we appreciate you making time now. And it's almost like the article that you wrote, which was on Wild Card Weekend, prior to Super Bowl 52, when the Patriots had a bye that weekend, Seth, that article about the internal strife and dissension amongst the ranks ended up almost being a prophecy of what now we sit today on the first day of spring in March 2020, that was the writing on the wall that led to this divorce.
Yeah, I mean, look, there was a lot of things, but I think that at the end of the day, the main issue in 2017 was not just Alex Guerrero and TB12 and Jimmy Garoppolo, but it was Tom Brady wanting, publicly stating his desire to play until his mid-40s and wanting a contract that reflected a commitment to him. And I think that he was okay if it didn't come from the New England Patriots and he had to go somewhere else, but he wanted clarity. And I think although his preference was to stay with the Patriots, that issue never really got resolved. And it really only got resolved last week when he, told Robert Kraft at his house that his New England Patriots career was over.
You wrote, and I mentioned this, this was to me in terms of so many telling things in this article, go to ESPN.com and read it. This, to me, stuck out the most. Brady made it clear to Big Game author Mark Leibovich he was fed up with Bill Belichick's culture, which is to say that he was fed up with Bill Belichick. After the Patriots lost to Philadelphia Eagles in Super Bowl 52, Brady was deeply dissatisfied. The offense had put up 613 yards with no punts. When Belichick addressed the team upon its return to Foxborough, Brady mostly stared straight down, barely glancing up at his coach. Brady told people in the building he wasn't coming back. Needing distance, he detached from the team that spring. And then you go on to talk about his passive-aggressive comments on social media. Now, that to me is the big tell there, that he wasn't coming back, that he was that sort of dissatisfied and discontent with everything going on in Foxborough.
Yeah, and, that was a crazy offseason. I mean, that was an offseason unlike anything else because, he didn't show up for anything voluntary. I mean, here's a guy who used to, win that coveted parking spot at the stadium because his record of attendance in the offseason was greater than that of any other New England Patriot. And he, he disconnected and he didn't tell the team, what he was planning to do until the early part of the summer, if I remember right, late spring, early part of the summer. Tom versus time, he obviously was searching at that. And, I think that his wife in Tom versus time gave us a clue where she said, he just wants to go to work, feel appreciated and have fun. And I think that at the time, we obviously listened to what she said, but I don't think we really thought about it. That's what he wanted. And he wanted appreciation in the form of a contract and he wanted an environment where he, could kind of rediscover that part of him that, had been kind of beaten to dust, ground to dust the past couple of years.
Seth Wickersham here on WEI. This thing really, I guess, for people had followed this for a long time, and you go back in detail and you mention, and I guess maybe I forgot about this, Seth. You talk about following knee surgery in 2008. That, Bill Belichick it culminated in a, quote, disconnect at a Yahoo Sports report then about Bill Belichick didn't like the fact that Brady was spending more time in L.A. than Foxborough. Then even after the Flakegate thing, when Belichick, I can't even count how many times he said, you got to ask Tom. Yeah, you have to ask Tom. You have to. Throwing him right underneath the bus. All those things that, and here's the weird thing, Seth, even after the loss to Philly, what do? They come back the following year and they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl. So you thought that everything was hunky-dory, and then you get to training camp, and then it was announced that Brady agreed to an extension. He said, no, I didn't. there's no contract extension. Matter of fact, he agreed that he'd not want to be franchise tagged whatsoever. So then you kind of knew that something was up and maybe this could be the end.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that my colleague, Jeff Darlington, who's been, you know, on
money.
Top of this story,
money.
In addition to, you know, Adam Schefter and Tom Curran, I mean, you know, but he said something the other day on air that I really found fascinating. And he said, Tom is not looking to resume pad. So this is not about a race to the seventh ring between Bill and Tom. This is about Tom doing something he felt he needed to do for himself to, you know, rediscover that fire. I mean, everything with Tom, it's been, he's always been extremely self-motivated and he's always loved the game. And, you know, that's what I was trying to get at with that ending that you, you know, referenced earlier back to 2001. But you know, I think that like, this is about him and needing to, you know, do something that he needs to do for himself to feel happy much more than it's about, you know, trying to win another Super Bowl. And that's surprising to me because, you know, everyone figured that his best chance to win was back in New England. And, you know, everyone thought, you know, look, Tom might get frustrated about this. He might get frustrated about that. But at the end of the day, he's all about winning. And, you know, that's what will bring him back to New England. And, you know, it turned out it didn't because the Patriots didn't offer him a contract that he wanted to sign. And so, you know, he felt he had to move on. And, you know, you just look at how happy he looks when he was signing that contract.
Oh, I mean, I know.
It's a fresh start for somebody who's wanted a fresh start for a while, I think.
No question about it. Seth Wickersham here. Seth, do you think, and this is a hypothetical question.
Mm-hmm.
If Josh McDaniels, if Bill had retired and Josh McDaniels was the head coach, would Tom Brady still be a New England Patriot?
I don't know. You know, that's a lot of hypotheticals. I'm not sure that Josh McDaniels, you know, would have taken or would have been offered that job, you know, if Bill had walked away.
Mm.
I just don't know. At the end of the day, you know, both of these men, nobody budged. I mean, Tom wanted what he wanted, which was, you know, a 2-year commitment without qualification, you know, without qualifiers. And Bill wanted what he wanted, which was a quarterback at the price that he deemed the best value and the accurate value. And nobody moved. And, you know, that stubbornness is something that's helped these guys become, you know, great beyond what we've ever seen a head coach and a quarterback become. But, you know, they are rigid people, and at the end of the, and they're proud people. And at the end of the day, that's the decision that they each made, and you kind of have to respect it.
Seth, what about in terms of Robert Kraft, who this week, speaking of your colleagues, called Stephen A. Smith during a commercial break during First Take and saying Tom wanted to leave and this, that, and the other. And then, you know, he actually was quoted to Mike Giardi of the NFL Network. And said something to the extent of, quote, when I spoke to Robert Kraft, he made this analogy about Tom Brady's departure. Think about loving your wife, and for whatever reason, there's something, her father or mother, that makes life impossible for you, and you have to move on, but you don't want to. So Kraft is basically throwing Belichick under the bus there, saying that the meddling mother or father-in-law, Bill Belichick, is the reason that Tom Brady is no longer Patriot. But at the end of the day, the lower right front, lower right front corner of the check has Robert Kraft's name on it. He could have vetoed anything Bill Belichick did, and he chose not to. He chose, unlike he did 24 years ago with Parcells, he chose to let Bill Belichick make the decision on sort of, you know, parting ways with the greatest player in NFL history.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought that the statement was kind of interesting when he told, you know, he made the rounds of calls after Brady made his announcement on Tuesday morning. And I believe he said it to Tom Curran, but he said, you know, I thought Tom was coming over and we would quietly get a deal done like we've done in the past. I thought that was really fascinating considering that, you know, the Patriots had made it clear that Belichick was going to be the one handling this negotiation. And that the owner was not going to be involved. But again, at the end of the day, you know, Robert Kraft held to that, and, you know, Belichick made an offer, and, you know, it wasn't anything that Tom wanted to sign, and, you know, nothing had changed. I mean, it's amazing how you look at since August, you know, when Tom signed that contract that was labeled, you know, spun as an extension, but it wasn't an extension, really nothing's changed. And he wants a commitment. The Patriots weren't willing to go more than year to year, and that was the breaking point.
Yeah, it's interesting. And now everybody will always compare. Do you look at this too, Seth, to me, in terms of divorces? To me, I don't think we've seen a divorce like this since Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson. Does that, is that comparable to that? Or Joe Montana and the Niners?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think about, you know, I hadn't really thought about it in that, you know, historical context. I mean, again, it's just one of the weird things about this is that it's just a, it's a study in extremes, because you have an extremely disciplined system that the New England Patriots run under Bill Belichick that's been fabulously successful. And you have extreme ambition in Tom Brady, who, you know, wants to play until he's 45. His dad once told me he wants to be a modern day George Blanda. And, you know, during those years, everyone always just kind of like rolled their eyes. Oh, yeah, whatever. He's not going to make it till 45. Even coaches on the Patriots, nobody believed he was going to make it until he's 45. But if we've learned anything about Tom Brady, it's that do not doubt his sincerity and earnestness when he sets himself a goal. And so when you look at it in that historical context, you know, that's the one qualifier I would give it. It's just that, like, you know, these guys maintain continuity beyond, you know, what anyone could imagine. I mean, they changed New England sports forever between the two of them. And you know, with Robert Kraft, really the three of them. But all that they did, after all that they did, they still want more. And finally, you know, the goals weren't aligned and they had to break.
Seth, I'll leave you with this. And I just, if you can take the money aside, because I don't think money was much of a factor. If you had to just pinpoint a singular reason why Tom Brady, that he's no longer a Patriot, what would it be?
I mean, again, it's the contract. I mean, it's the 2-year commitment more than it's the money.
No, but you don't think it, not playing for Bill Belichick as well?
I think, well, I do. I think okay. That, like, look, I think that definitely matters, but I think they're one and the same at this point. If Bill's the one deciding what the contract's going to look like, it's you know, those things are kind of linked. I mean, Tom, I do think, you know, strongly considered returning to the team, you know, if they were willing to budge, and they weren't willing to budge. And, you know, that's what did it.
Seth, go check out Seth Wickersham's article on ESPN.com, the story behind the split of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots. You can follow him on Twitter. Seth, as they show the tuck rule, man, it was many, many years ago, and I remember being that right after the game that night, and here we are 18 years later. So be well. Thanks again for making time on a Sunday.
It's always great to talk to you. Thank you guys so, so much, and we'll talk down the road.
You got it. Seth Wickersham here. Very interesting. How about that? That to me, of everything in this article that I look at, I'll go back to the one Super Bowl 52. The offense had put up 613 yards with no punts. When Belichick addressed the team upon its return to Foxborough, Brady mostly stared straight down, barely glancing up at his coach. Brady told people in the building that he wasn't coming back. Wow. And here we are, 2 years and a couple months later. All right, your thoughts on that? I'll open up the phones, 617-779-7937. Now it's time for trending.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
All right, back here on WEI, 617-779-7937 is the number to get in. Let's go back to the phones. This man's been holding for a very long time to get something off his chest. Danny and Quincy. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, Marky Mark.
What's up?
You know, you're like a little 12-year-old being left at home for the first time without a babysitter. With Andy Hart not there to challenge you. It's all right, though. I like it. It's entertaining, but that's why I have to call in and start putting out my talking points, right? So, okay, let's get on the list of some of the things. Let's have it back and forth, right? You talked about Belichick saying the Miami game was a playoff game. Well, Brady must have been AWOL for that meeting because he threw the pick six early in the game. They would have been up 12.
Yep.
And that drive at the end wouldn't have mattered. Yeah, you don't mention that, though.
Right, well, okay, but he also threw what should have been the game-winning touchdown to James White.
There's always a but. But you don't address what I just say. You call
Well, no, but he also threw the go-ahead touchdown with 4 minutes to go.
Didn't matter. The point total should have been 12.
Defense let him down.
Nope. Defense
let him down.
The defense carried his ass last year. They carried his ass the year before. When your colleague brought up, the defense gave up 3 points in the Super Bowl. You said Brady won that Super Bowl. I don't think so. Belichick's defense won that Super Bowl. Let's go back to
Hey, by the way, who is the one who engineered five? Listen. I'm quoting here. This thing from Seth Wickersham's article.
I don't care about Seth.
No, here we go.
He's got a book to sell. I don't care about him. I don't care about his conspiracy theories and his bull crap. I don't care. I just heard him. I want to talk. Let's go, you and I.
Who engineered five Super Bowl wins when trailing or tied in the fourth quarter?
Let's talk about the two giant Super Bowls, right?
Danny, you don't want to hear me. Like I'm talking to you, and you don't want to go back and forth. You just want to go. Like you don't. You just want to I'm like who engineered five Super Bowl wins when trailing or tied in the fourth quarter? How about that? Who did it? Tom Brady did. Sorry, Danny. Who put 613 yards of offense up in Super Bowl 52 and did not have to punt once? Tom Brady did, Danny. Whose defense couldn't stop Eli Manning, who was being called Sheely Manning the year prior to that by Giants fans? Bill Belichick. Just saying. Jim in North Smithfield. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Mark, how you doing today? I just want to make a point on as Brady, Belichick, and Kraft all knew Brady wasn't coming back. Through the years with his contract, 2 years into his rookie contract, they signed him to a four-year contract. 3 years that they signed him into a six-year contract. Going into that contract, it only went 5 years. They signed him to another four-year contract. Going into that four-year contract, 3 years in, they signed a five-year contract. That was in 2013. They went 3 years into that. They signed a four-year contract, which was ending in 2019. They wanted to renegotiate that contract for 3 years, $70 million. They easily could have did that contract. Brady would be playing here approximately at the same money. In 2019, he was 21.5 against the cap, $23 million total cash spent towards him. They could have had the same numbers for 2020 at about $21 million against the cap, but they didn't want to pull the trigger, meaning Kraft and Belichick. They didn't. So they signed them to that one-year contract. They all knew it was over before the 2019 year started. Your views.
I don't disagree with anything you just said, Jim. I think you laid it out perfectly and eloquently. So, yeah, you're right. So and that's why they're in the position that they're in right now. And here's the worst part about it, Jim. They wanted to double jeopardy Brady for this deal. Well, you're going to count for $13.5 million against the cap. That's not Brady's fault. That's Bill's fault. Bill's the one who structured that way.
Correct.
Right. So they wanted to double jeopardy Tom Brady after he took countless, endless sacrifices to be here and put this team in a position to win six Super Bowls. Six. Like, and they want, you're going to count, it's $13.5 million dead cap money. Well, now, even if you wanted to bring in, and please, no, Cam Newton, you're still, whatever quarterback, or even if you just go with Jarrett Stidham, you're still going to take the $13.5 million dead cap. They wanted to count that against Tom Brady for this negotiation. Can you believe the temerity and unmitigated gall by Belichick doing that?
Again, if they just would have signed that three-year deal, we wouldn't be talking about this.
Right. I know. But yet, here we are, Jim. Here we are. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team with the worst winning percentage in NFL history, have a better team than the New England Patriots do. How about that?
And to throw out some slaps in the face to Brady. 2018, Jimmy Garoppolo is making $37 million a year to Brady's 22. In 2019, Brady's 21.5 against the cap. Matt Stafford at $31 million. The only time Brady was the number one paid quarterback in the NFL was in 2006. Other than that, he always renegotiated to be 14th, 15th, 20th paid quarterback. He always renegotiated because he wanted to win.
That's right. And he did it for the betterment of the team. He always did. And now, here we are. Here we are. Peter, Jamaica Plain. What's up, Peter?
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Good.
I went through the schedule, okay? With the way they played against good teams last year and the toughness of their schedule this year coming up, I think even with Tom Brady, they would have been 9-7. I went through the schedule, and that, you know.
Which year?
That's what I think.
Oh, you mean
happen.
This upcoming season?
Yeah, go through
this. Peter, they have no shot. They have no shot. Stop it. They got road games.
What do you mean no shot?
At Kansas City, at Houston, at Seattle, at both LA teams. They have no chance of going 9-7. Stop.
I'm saying with Tom Brady.
With Tom Brady, I think they could have gone 10-6, 11-5. Sure. Yeah. Oh.
So I think it's, you know, a little unfair to say. I mean, these other teams in the East are really good. Their schedule is really tough. So, you know, with Jared Stidham, if they go down a notch, I don't think it's completely fair to blame Bill Belichick. I don't think Tom Brady, honestly, I went through it, 9-7, you can go through it, see what you think. So I think they were, you know, a fringe playoff team this next year, even with Tom Brady.
Yeah, but I think they would have made the playoffs with Tom Brady. Jimmy in Rosslindale.
Hi, Mark. I didn't think I'd get through. I've been on so long, I didn't know what was going on. I thought I did something wrong or something.
No, Jimmy. We had a lot of calls. Sorry about that.
I heard. Now, I want to change gear just a wee bit. I know WrestleMania and a lot of things have changed. Have you seen the new promo for Viceland's The Wrestlers? Not The Wrestlers.
Dark Side of the Ring. It's going to be Tuesday night about Chris Benoit, part one and part two. I can't wait. I got my DVR set. Yes.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm sorry I didn't call you this past week. I know a lot has gone on with the Brady bailing and all the other chicanery. I read something on WWE.com. They're talking about taping stuff. I know that with this coronavirus situation, it's gone the way it has become. It's just unsurpassed. I know you talked about all those other elements earlier with the, the Big East DVD, 30 for 30. That should be interesting. I remember going to games in the old Robert Center prior to the Big East, the year before and the first year of the Big East Conference. But they went down the tubes afterwards. But in the mid-'80s, the 35th anniversary is coming up of three Big East teams went to the Final Four.
I know.
It's wild, though.
I know. So, yeah, no, it is
and
wild.
And they're showing the wrestlers now on Vice, the wrestlers segment right now on Vice. They're showing the six. You've probably seen them. I have, too.
I already have. Yeah. But, no, Jimmy, listen, man, sorry for the long hold. Appreciate you getting in, and good to hear from you. Will Albert in Rhode Island squeeze in. Go ahead, Albert.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I think I deserve it after this pain and suffering for the last 20 minutes. I've heard people, imagine saying we don't trust Bill Belichick to build a team. Listen, Tom Brady never took a contract that was friendly. He took what Bill offered him. And if he didn't take the contracts for exactly what Bill wanted, Bill would have said, nice note, put his right hand out, good luck with the rest of your career. That's why he was here. You momos who have been saying this for 15 years, he wasn't being nice. He took the only option he had.
But he also did it for the greater good. He could have gotten more money elsewhere, Albert.
Okay, that's good. And you know what?
Okay.
He could have done so if he wanted to, but here's what you're missing. Bill thinks he would have won with – this is where you detach yourself and the rest of the idiots from what goes on in Patriots' brass. Bill thinks he's going to win with or without Tom. You guys have wet dreams to Tom Brady. Bill Belichick doesn't have wet dreams to Tom Brady. Bill has dreams about any quarterback that he coaches, drafts, he believes he's going to make a winner. That's why the 43-year-old didn't get $30 million. That's why he never got what you think he should have got, because Bill pays people based on what he values them. And Bill thinks he's going to win with anybody. You're adults. Allow yourselves to grow up, adapt to what reality is proving to you, and just take it and run with it. They're winning 10 games this year.
Oh, Albert, they are not. Oh, Albert, you haven't looked at their schedule. You have not looked at their schedule.
Because Brady's been, you want to.
You have, Albert, who's their quarterback, Albert? Stop it. Who's their quarterback? You don't know what he can do, and nobody does until he does something. So you're going to need Jarrett Stidham to basically be Patrick Mahomes for this team to make the playoffs. Close to it. It's not going to happen. On the Mark, Off the Mark. Coming up next, final segment.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
I got to tell you what, I think that Belichick has been to his last Super Bowl. I don't think he's going to do anything. Brady has been in that locker room for 20 years, and for 20 years, Belichick has been able to criticize him in front of other younger players who must be thinking, if he can do that to the greatest player who ever put a uniform on, I better shut my mouth and stay in line. And I think him not being in the locker room alone is going to be a huge factor. I totally believe that.
I'm going to tell you why they're going to win 10 games or more next year.
No, this will be good.
It's going to be factual also.
Okay.
Everyone only talks about the lack of Brady and what is Stidham or a free agent going to do. I have news for America or New England. Do you know there's another side of the ball called defense? Do you remember the old saying we've been saying for 20 years, and Bill we trust? You don't think he knows what the heck he's doing? And I wish I could use a different word than heck.
The people who are dealing with the coronavirus had a better plan in place than Bill Belichick did with this whole situation. I mean, we have a lot of picks in this draft, but going by Bill Belichick's draft resume in the last couple years, do you really trust Bill Belichick to do well this year? I mean, I'll just end it with this. I mean, we've always said in Bill we trust, but I don't know if that can really be said anymore.
Listen, man, I mean, you're going a little bit too far. You sound like a jilted lover. I mean, come on. He's gone. Let it go. Brady's gone. He was the greatest. He's the best they ever had. Let it go. He's gone. He didn't want to stay. Let it go. He's gone. You sound like someone that broke your heart, man. You fell in love and you had a couple of babies, and now you're disappointed because she's gone. Let it go. Let it go. They'll survive. They're going to survive. What if he to retire? What are you going
to
say then?
I've heard people, imagine saying we don't trust Bill Belichick to build a team. I'm at, like, guys, listen. Tom Brady never took a contract that was friendly. He took what Bill offered him. And if he didn't take the contract for exactly what Bill wanted, Bill would have said, nice note, put his right hand out, good luck with the rest of your career. That's why he was here. You momos who have been saying this for 15 years, he wasn't being nice. He took the only option he had.
All right, on the mark, off the mark. You know, the great thing about sports talk radio, though, during everything that's going on right now with the coronavirus, it's nice to at least have an escape. It's nice to come in here and be able to sort of therapeutically work and you know, get out a little bit and be able to do something that, you know, I'm lucky enough to do something that I thoroughly enjoy for the most part. Even though some of you can make this job a little intolerable. But that being said, yes, it's nice that we can escape this.
He's gone. Let it go.
Yeah, it's too early there to let it go. Way too early to let it go. I don't think anybody, just like nobody here has let it go about Malcolm Butler not playing in the Super Bowl. Nobody's let that go. Looking at this, they're doing a Tom Brady marathon right now on ESPN. It's hard to believe. I was with my father at Tom Brady's first playoff game in his career against the Raiders, better known as the Tuck Rule game. It's just hard to believe that that was his first playoff game of his career. And, man, he had a nice run for a touchdown there in the game in the blizzard. Oh, I remember how freaking cold my feet were at the end of that game. Oh, oh, I thought I was going to get pneumonia. I thought they were going to be frostbitten. So Brian Barrett is coming up next. So I got to tell you, I appreciate everybody called, everybody listened, even Albert in Rhode Island and Danny and Quincy. And some of you can be, well, sometimes a little much. You're a lot, to be nice. Also want to thank Seth Wickersham from ESPN.com, Ben Volen from the Boston Globe, and last but certainly not least, Nick LaPan for producing it. I'll be back tomorrow night from 10 to midnight right here on EEI. So stay tuned. Brian Barrett will take you through from 1 to 4. Coming up right here on WEI. Have a great Sunday. Be safe. Stay inside. Watch the Brady Marathon. Get a bunch of ice cream. And then tonight at 7 o'clock after the Brady Marathon ESPN, there's going to be a WrestleMania 30 replay. Check that out. And then binge watch. Binge watch. I highly implore you guys to watch Dirty Money on Netflix. It's a tremendous series. See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.